All right, so with this Red Sox team, there was a lot going into last season where he had a lot of questions with the team. There was a lot of storylines, Alex Cora coming over. There was a lot of things heading into the season. You had just gotten rid of John Farrell. The team was a mess in the postseason the past few years. And there were storylines. There was expectations with the team. What were they going to do this year? You had the situation with J.D. Martinez where it was like Manny Machado. It was so late into the calendar year, if you will. Not the calendar year, but in terms of the spring training schedule. It was so late when J.D. Martinez signed. You knew eventually it was going to happen, but it just took forever. So are there all these storylines? How are they going to replace David Ortiz? Because the prior season in 2016, they were not able to do it. So, or rather in 2017. So there were all these questions with the Red Sox heading into the 2018 season. And now it's totally different in 2019 with the Red Sox, where it's weird. This team doesn't really have a lot of question marks. Now, you can look at the bullpen and say, okay, there's certain places you'd like to upgrade and whatnot, but this team really lost nobody. They lost, like, Joe Kelly. Okay, Joe Kelly was really good in the postseason. He threw, like, 100 miles an hour a bunch of times. But remember, throughout the season and really throughout his tenure with the Red Sox, Joe Kelly's been an inconsistent pitcher. Okay, so they didn't really lose much. Now, maybe there's a question with Mookie Betts long-term and his contract extension, all these different type of things, but there's really not a lot of big-time storylines with the Red Sox right now as they enter spring training. I did see that Alex Cora said today that he didn't like the expression turn the page, because when you're turning the page, he thinks that's a negative connotation. Because they were so good last year, he doesn't want to turn the page. He wants to keep doing things they did last year. And he said when they've made mistakes in spring training, they've said, okay, let's look at last year instead of turning the page. They're actually looking to build off what they did last year, which is, I guess, an interesting perspective from Alex Cora. Nonetheless, I never thought of turn the page as a negative connotation, but apparently Alex Cora does. So he's gotten these guys to buy into everything else. I mean, clearly, everything he did last year worked. We all questioned the bullpen heading into the postseason, and he just decided, I'm going to use my starters there. Nate Eovaldi's going to pitch like a million innings. He's going to start, and he's going to pitch out of the bullpen. David Price is going to pitch out of the bullpen, and he's going to get that monkey off his back and actually be good in the postseason for once. Rick Porcello is going to pitch out of the bullpen. And oh, by the way, Joe Kelly's going to go from like an inconsistent reliever to unhittable in the postseason. Ryan Brazier is going to be essentially unhittable in the postseason, and there we go. He knew it the whole time, apparently. None of us knew it. Everybody was killing them at the deadline for not upgrading in terms of the relievers. But nonetheless, not a lot of storylines last year, or a lot of storylines heading into the season last year, because they were coming off an ugly outing in the postseason, that loss to the Astros. 2 years before that, it was Cleveland. And this year, they absolutely fly through the postseason, or I should say in 2018, where they lose three total games, one game in each series. So there's not a ton of question marks with this team. But one thing you are asking yourself, if you're a Red Sox fan right now, is what's going on with Chris Sale, because John Henry talked this week about what's going on with him and a possible extension because he's entering the final year of his contract. Here's what John Henry said this week, quote, "We would love to be able to sign him. I think we would like that as well. But there are realities of the marketplace and budgets. This is his opportunity to be a free agent potentially, which we'd like to avoid, and I think he would as well. So something could happen." So John Henry saying, okay, we're talking with Chris Sale right now about a possible extension. And John Henry also referenced the fact that, remember, they essentially botched that John Lester trade. Everybody knows that. We don't have to revisit that. But remember, they offered him, what, 4 years and $70 million. Complete low-blow offer for John Lester, who had been the workhorse, who had been the best pitcher for them on a team that won the World Series in 2013. Then they lowball him before the 2014 season. We all know what happened. He gets traded to the A's. He signs with the Cubs, okay? And guys like Homer Bailey, who has been an irrelevant pitcher in Major League Baseball with the Cincinnati Reds, and I don't even know where he is now. He got traded somewhere, but he sucks. Nonetheless, he got 6 years and 105 that same time period, and the Red Sox were offering John Lester 4 years and $70 million. So John Henry saying, okay, we botched that situation. We're going to try to get a deal done with Chris Sale now rather than later. Now, John Henry also talked about the shoulder issues with Chris Sale. He said, quote, "He's healthy. He had minor issues. They ended up taking a bit of time. He needed some rest at one point. He hasn't had any significant shoulder issues," end quote. And here's my comment to that with John Henry. It's like, you can say they're not significant, but they were significant enough to the point where essentially he didn't do anything in September. He wasn't a relevant pitcher. You were bringing him back for that like three inning outing, and then eventually he was trying to work up to five innings, and then in the postseason he completely lost his velocity to the point where later on in the World Series he had to miss a start, and David Price in the ALCS pitched on short rest instead of Chris Sale, so he wasn't reliable in September and he wasn't reliable in the postseason. So you can say it wasn't a major issue, but clearly there's an issue with the shoulder, and we still don't know what was wrong with the shoulder. So I just look at the Red Sox here, a couple of elements here. Is the first one I would say is it seems like the Red Sox are, and John Henry, are relating the two things. The botched contract with John Lester to make sure it doesn't happen again. And those are two different scenarios. John Lester was healthy going into 2014, and Chris Sale has been the opposite. Chris Sale has not been a healthy guy towards the end of most seasons of his careers. He tends to falter down the stretch of the season. So I wouldn't say, okay, because you botched the John Lester thing, that means you got to make sure you get the Chris Sale thing done. I'm not overpaying Chris Sale because of what happened with John Lester. I don't think those things should be related whatsoever. Now, it's the final year of the contract for Chris Sale. We mentioned this, but a couple of elements to this thing. Do you want them to sign Chris Sale long-term? And I look at this. The first thing with Chris Sale is I would expect that he's going to want David Price money, right? Because Chris Sale has been a significant better pitcher or significantly better pitcher than David Price has been recently. Now, David Price got 7 years and $217 million. And I get what Price did in the postseason. He was tremendous. But in terms of an everyday starter, it's not even close if you compare the two guys, especially over the past 3 years or so. And you think about it, Sale turns 30 this month. So you're going to want to sign this guy to a 7-year contract? Considering the fact that he's going to want that type of money, Chris Sale is going to be one of these guys that is old school, loyal to the Players Association. He's not going to take a discount. So you think that he's going to want anything less than David Price money? Because I look at it as that's what he's going to be looking for. And I get, like, Chris Sale, I love the guy. I love watching him pitch year in and year out. But I don't want to be paying this guy $30, $33 million when he's 32, 33 years old, because he hasn't proven to me that he can stay healthy. And I get all this jazz about he loves pitching for the Red Sox. And he's a guy that you cheer for here in Boston, right? You like him because, unlike, say, like Kyrie Irving with the Red Sox, or Kyrie Irving with the Celtics, rather, Chris Sale's like the opposite of that with the Red Sox. He just goes out and he does his job. Doesn't care about anything, the media, any of that crap. He says he actually doesn't mind traffic because he likes listening to his music and whatnot. I heard him talking about that with Mutt and Callahan last week. Okay, so everybody loves Chris Sale. He's like the perfect Red Sox. Goes out there and he does his job. The problem is, he's not healthy all the time. So why would I be giving this guy a huge contract that I know is bad business because I like him and because of what happened with John Lester in 2014? That would be a reason to give him a long-term contract. I just wouldn't do it. It doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. The big element here is the health. I mean, we can point to a guy like Max Scherzer. He's a freak. He makes it through every season. Chris Sale is not that guy. Whether it's because of his physique, whatever it may be, whether it's because of his delivery, I don't know enough about the mechanics of pitching to blame it on the delivery or whatnot, but I do know this about Chris Sale. His velocity was down outside of his one bullpen session against the Dodgers where he struck out Manny Machado in the World Series. We'll all remember that great image of Manny Machado going down to one knee trying to swing at a Chris Sale slider. But we look at him, and he's had shoulder issues, and we still don't know what's wrong with the shoulder. John Henry said it wasn't serious. I'm sorry, we don't know what it is. So how do we know if it was serious or not? We know it was serious enough to the point where he was ineffective in the postseason. He was basically not there. And think about this. From Chris Sale's perspective, can you imagine if that Red Sox team didn't win the World Series and Chris Sale did what he did in the postseason, which was basically he was a non-factor? Then we would even have this conversation. If the Red Sox didn't win the World Series last year, would we even be having this conversation about Chris Sale? No, because Chris Sale was non-existent essentially in the postseason. I understand he had the start against the Yankees where he went out there, they won the game, but he wasn't the same guy. What, 5 1/3? He wasn't the same guy. But look at this, the past couple of years with Chris Sale. Okay, Chicago in 2016. So this is the past 3 years if you look at it. In September, he pitched 36 innings, a 3.75 ERA. Not that 3.75 is bad, but that's a normal pitcher. That's a decent pitcher, but it's not Chris Sale, who had, what, a 2.11 ERA last season? You look at with the Sox in 2017. Postseason start, he was lit up for 9 runs against the Astros. September that year, 3.72 ERA. And two of those starts, he doesn't even make it out of the 5th inning. And one start, he made it past the 6th inning that year. Okay, so two of those starts doesn't make it out of the 5th, and one start, he didn't pitch past the 6th inning. 3.72, that's not Chris Sale. We look at the Sox last year when they won the World Series. We know the story. Postseason, 4.11 ERA. Longest outing was 5 1/3. In September, he pitched a total of 12 innings because they were dealing with the shoulder issue. They kept telling us it wasn't serious, and he had a 3.75 ERA in September. Basically, was a non-factor with the team in September. We kept hearing, okay, they're making sure that he's healthy for the postseason. He's going to be fine when they get there. And then we see him against the Yankees. The velocity is down. He's clearly not the same guy. He's basically beating guys with his mind, not his stuff at that particular point in time. He's out-pitching people. More of a Tom Glavine performance, if you will, than a Randy Johnson performance. That's what he looked like, and usually he looks like Randy Johnson. But that's 3 years in a row where this guy completely has broken down towards the end of the season. So this team is going to be in the business of winning championships, right? In this future here with Mookie Betts, who's under contract for a couple of more years, or at least he's under team control for a couple more years. Xander Bogaerts is eventually going to need a contract. JD Martinez has an opt-out after next season. So why would I want to invest all this money in Chris Sale when the data that he's put on the field the past couple of years down the stretch of the season is not good? I don't understand the rationale for talking to Chris Sale about an extension right now. Is it just to get in his good graces? Is that what you're trying to do? Because the only way that I would do it is if Chris Sale says, hey, you know what, guys? I really like Boston. I love being here. I'm going to take a hometown discount. But I don't see that happening with Chris Sale. Chris Sale, he was not on a great contract when he came over from the White Sox. It's a bargain right now for the Red Sox. He's going to want to cash in. This is going to be his one opportunity to cash in and make huge, big-time money like the David Price type money. So I don't see him doing that, especially considering the fact that he's going to be a guy that is loyal to the Players Association. So he's not going to take a discount. And from a pure business perspective, the only thing this does, I guess, would be PR, right? Like signing him to a long-term deal, there is no proof that he is going to be able to fill the obligations of that contract. How many good years do you get out of Chris Sale on that thing? Maybe next year and the year after that. But again, you have 3 years in a row where in September, he was not nearly the pitcher he was earlier on in the season. And the past 2 years in the postseason, 2 years ago against the Astros, he is not good. And I get it's just one start, but in relief, he gives up a home run as well. Bregman got him a couple of times in that series. And then this year, you're in a situation where Chris Sale was not effective in the postseason to the point where really he was a non-factor. This team won a World Series, and I get that he's part of how you got there, right? He's part of the reason you won the most games in Major League Baseball. Clearly, I'm not taking anything away from him in terms of the regular season. The guy's the nastiest pitcher in baseball, in my mind, when he's actually healthy. But the problem is I just can't depend on the health. And I'm not going to sign this guy to a long-term contract now. Like, why not just wait? Now, if Chris Sale at the end of the season proves, you know what? He's going to be healthy towards the end of the year. He goes into free agency. You want to make sure he comes back. Then you offer him all the money that you want, okay? But let's make sure you figured out these issues with Chris Sale in terms of what's going on in his shoulder. Because I'm sorry, when John Henry comes out and he essentially says that they weren't major issues, those are major issues to me. If the ace of your staff is not effective in the postseason, those are major issues to me. How many other teams could have overcome what the Red Sox did when you're talking about your best pitcher basically being a non-factor in the postseason? Clayton Kershaw ends up pitching poorly against the Red Sox in the postseason. What happens? The Red Sox easily win that series in the World Series. Justin Verlander has that bad start against the Red Sox where David Price is electric in that deciding game, if you will. Not deciding game, but the Red Sox were able to win that series in that particular game. The Astros wouldn't have won the series if they won that game. But you get the point. Justin Verlander wasn't good in that game. Gives up the home run to JD Martinez. Then he gives up the home run to Rafael Devers. What happens to the Astros? Boom, they're out of that series. Luis Severino gives you nothing for the Yankees against the Red Sox. And what happens? They lose that series. The Red Sox essentially got nothing out of Chris Price in the postseason. And they're able to go along and they're able to win the World Series. Not many other teams could have got away with that. And what we've seen with the Red Sox is we know they attract big-name free agents because they're willing to pay a lot of money. There is going to be somebody else down the road. And I understand the farm system isn't what it was. Once was, but you can trade for other guys down the road to pick up pitching. I'm sorry, I'm not being completely committed to a Chris Sale as much as I love the guy. I wish that Chris Sale was healthy the past couple of years. If he was, even if last year, right? Because 2 years ago, I know he wasn't the same pitcher down the stretch. But if last year he was healthy and he actually pitched well in the postseason, he performed at a high level, I'd be like, okay, give Chris Sale the money he wants, get this contract done before the season, and okay, most of these contracts, you're going to have 2 to 3 bad years at the end of them, but at least I know I'm going to get 4 prime years out of Chris Sale, or at least 4 really good years, 2 probably excellent Cy Young level seasons out of Chris Sale. I'd be fine with it. But the problem is, you have to open your eyes to what's going on with Sale. there is a serious issue with him in terms of durability. I don't know if it's because of his physique. I don't know if it's a serious shoulder issue. I don't know if it's because he has that violent motion where it looks like his arm's going to snap every time he throws the baseball. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's the fact that his legs are so skinny. I don't know that he doesn't use his legs all the time. He throws completely across his body. But whatever it is, it's a problem when he gets late into the season where he's not durable. The Red Sox tried to baby him down the stretch last year. They tried to make sure he was ready for the postseason. Remember, all season long, this is a priority for Chris Sale. Alex Cora wouldn't let him pitch deep into a lot of games because they wanted to save him for the postseason. That was a thing all season long because they felt 2 years ago when he first came over from the White Sox, he was going all out at the beginning of the season. John Farrell was pitching him way too many innings to the point where they wanted to say, okay, let's make sure this is what we're going to do this year. We're going to make sure Chris Sale is healthy for the postseason. We're going to make sure that Chris Sale is the top-tier ace that he is in April and May and June. We're going to make sure we have that guy when we get to September and October. And all that stuff they did to try to benefit Chris Sale, all that resting, not going deep into games, using the bullpen more, occasionally give him an outing off. And then when he had that little shoulder issue, or according to John Henry, not a serious issue, that appeared to be more serious than we thought it was, you get into September, the guy's barely pitching, and we keep hearing it's all right, and clearly it isn't all right. Okay, so that's where you're at with Chris Sale. You try to baby the guy the whole season to make sure that he's durable enough to get you into the postseason and perform at a high level, and he can't get through the postseason. So as much as I love the guy, I'm not giving him money. I'm not giving him a big contract until he proves that, you know what, he can stay healthy in September and October. Because how dumb would the Red Sox be if they get an extension done with Chris Sale that is a huge number, and then we get to September again, and it's the same thing with Chris Sale? I'd like to see Chris Sale prove it to me once that he can last and be good in September and October. That's what I want from Chris Sale. I want to see him prove that. And I understand that everybody in this town loves the guy, but the only reason you would be giving him that contract is because you botched the John Lester thing if you're the Red Sox, because John Henry alluded to that, and the other reason would be is because you love the guy. Those are the only reasons. And from a pure business perspective, the Red Sox are a business, right? That just makes no sense whatsoever. That is stupid logic. That is stupid, stupid logic. All right? Like, I'd rather see them get a deal done with, say, a Xander Bogaerts. If they're open to that, which clearly they are, we heard the Red Sox talk about that. If you can get a deal done with Bogaerts, I'm much happier with that. Because Bogaerts, remember, is what, 25? And he's a shortstop who had a phenomenal season last year, who doesn't get a ton of credit because you have guys like Mookie Betts and J.D. Martinez, and you have all these other big-name shortstops across Major League Baseball, the Francisco Lindors of the world, the Carlos Correas of the world, where it seems like at times Xander Bogaerts gets lost in the shuffle, and Bogaerts is somebody that I want to see with the Red Sox for the foreseeable future. So I'd much rather see the Red Sox get that deal done because I know Bogaerts is young enough where that contract's actually going to work out long term. I'd much rather see them focus on getting Bogaerts done before Chris Sale done, because Chris Sale needs to prove it to me that he can last long into the season, into September and into October. I want to see Bogaerts done so you have one contract situated, because who knows what's going to happen with Mookie Betts in the long run. Got his $20 million this year. The one thing I'll say that was a good sign is he agreed to that $20 million. Like, if he went to arbitration, maybe he asked for, what, $22, $23 million, whatever it may be. I think that's a good sign in terms of negotiating in the future with Mookie Betts, is the fact that he took the $20 million. Now, it's like the highest ever for a player, like pre-arbitration, whatever it is, he set some sort of record. So I think that's a good sign for the Red Sox that he actually agreed to the $20 million and he didn't go for the $23, which he easily could have gotten. But again, that Mookie Betts contract, that's going to be massive. And if you're Mookie Betts, man, you're sitting pretty right now, right? You see Manny Machado gets 10 years, $300 million. If you're Mookie Betts, you're like, okay, 3 years ago I finished runner-up in the MVP voting. Last year I was the MVP. I'm without question a top-five player across Major League Baseball. I'm a much better player than Manny Machado. Anybody that thinks Manny Machado is better than Mookie Betts is crazy, right? So Mookie Betts is one of the five best players in Major League Baseball. You could make a really good argument that after Mike Trout, he's actually the best player in the game. So you can make an argument that he's the second best player in the game. And I get that his postseason numbers were not great last year. that's the one thing that Mookie Betts has to overcome next year, is when they get into the postseason, he actually has to perform, because he has not, in his short career, performed in the postseason. But remember, Alex Rodriguez had that issue until 2009 when he was absolutely outstanding. I have faith that Mookie Betts will figure it out when he gets into the postseason. But we know he's one of the top 2 to 3 players in the game, and he sees Manny Machado, who is, I'd say, a top 20 player in Major League Baseball, but he's not a top 5 guy. So if you're Mookie Betts, you're like, hold on. Manny Machado got $300 million, a 10-year contract. And when you look at Bryce Harper, now Bryce Harper is going to get what? $350 million? Scott Boras was waiting this thing out where Manny Machado got paid, and now Scott Boras is going to be ready to make a deal with his client soon, whether that's the Giants, whether that's the Phillies, whoever it's going to be in the next couple of days. We know that Bryce Harper is going to get like $350 million. Remember, he already said no to 10 years and $300 million from the Washington Nationals. He already said no to that contract that Manny Machado was offered. So once that deal's on the table for $350 million, Mookie Betts, and I get that Bryce Harper is like the name, and everybody's into Bryce Harper because he goes out there with the cutoff shirt, the backwards hat in the home run derby, hits all these home runs. He was this huge thing coming out of Vegas. He was the big superstar. He was on Sports Illustrated when he was like 17 years old. He was hitting balls out of Tampa Bay when he was like 12, it seemed like. He's this big marketable star.
My little star right here.
Yeah, Mookie Betts, though, is the significantly better player than Bryce Harper. It's not even close. Like, Bryce Harper had that one great year. Look at Bryce Harper's numbers outside of his MVP season. He's been inconsistent. Great player, but not the same consistency you get from a Mookie Betts. So Mookie Betts is going to get more than Bryce Harper. That's just the reality of where we're at right now in Major League Baseball. That's how good Mookie is. So in terms of the Red Sox, who had the best day? It's Mookie Betts. Mookie's like, oh my God, I'm going to get a ton of money. And I heard Lou Maloney today asking Alex Cora about that, where Cora was asked about the Machado thing from Lou Maloney, and he said, hey, it's great for the kid. And Lou Maloney said, is that great for Mookie? And he didn't really respond to that one, did Alex Cora? But it is great news for Mookie Betts. It is a good day to be Mookie Betts. All right, if you want to get on board here, it's 617-779-7937. Your issues with the Celtics Act certainly is welcome. Rob Gronkowski, do you think he's going to retire? If you're the Patriots, do you go after Odell Beckham Jr.? All that is on the table. Plus, we're going to get to this Manny Machado situation. Is it good for baseball that Manny Machado is headed to San Diego? You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEEI.
Jay, we could get some big money for that if it's a fish, buddy. Come on.
I want my money.
It's like trees driving down the highway. You know, they just go by.
We got to call the aquarium or something, dude.
Well, this is an appropriate song based on the fact that I'm about to talk about Manny Machado, who got 10 years and $300 million. Brian Barrett with you for the next half hour or so. 617-779-7937, the number. If you want to hop in on that Chris Sale conversation, certainly welcome to do so. If you agree with me or if you disagree with me, if you think the Red Sox should give Chris Sale an extension now, I just wouldn't do it. Prove to me that you can stay healthy one of these years down the stretch. Past 3 years, haven't been able to stay healthy down the stretch of the season. Guy's about to turn 30. I'm not giving him a long-term deal based on the fact that during the end of the season, the guy routinely breaks down. And last year during the postseason, he was basically an on-factor in you winning a World Series. Why would I invest a huge contract in that guy who's going to want major money like David Price got? Why would I want to invest in that guy when he hasn't proven he can stay healthy towards the end of the season? We all love Chris Sale in Boston. We all love him. But you have to look at this as a business venture. And giving Chris Sale a big long-term contract when you know he's not taking a discount based on the fact that he's going to want to get his first big contract, because the contract he's on now, he's not making a ton of money in baseball terms. He's not making nowhere near David Price money. He's going to want that big contract, and somebody will give it to him even if he breaks down again in September. Somebody out in the open market will give it to Chris Sale because he's that good of a pitcher early on in the season. But if it's me, I'm the Red Sox. No. Sorry, prove to me 1 year that you can stay healthy in September and October. Okay, that's what I need from Chris Sale. You prove that to me, I'll give you all the money you want. But I need to see it at least happen once. It's a bad investment to say right now, let's negotiate a deal with Chris Sale, unless he says, I'm going to take a huge discount. But the Players Association won't let that happen. They're saying, look, you're one of the best 3 to 4 pitchers in Major League Baseball. We can't be having you taking discounts. We can't have you take discounts. If you take discounts, that means other guys are going to have to take discounts, and other guys are going to get lowballed if you don't take a major deal. So if I'm the Red Sox, I'm not giving him the major deal. I'm waiting until he proves to me that he can be a factor for me in September like he wasn't this year because he was dealing with an issue. And in the postseason, I'm going to need, sorry, if I'm going to pay this guy close to $200 million, whatever David Price got, $217, if I'm going to give him that big contract, I need to know that he's going to be available when I get to the postseason and when I go up against the Astros, who are still a juggernaut, and the Yankees going for it. I need you in those games. And I'm not going to give a bad contract away just because everybody in the town loves you and because a couple of years ago we botched a John Lester situation. Sorry, I'm not doing it. All right, so anyway, the big news nationally in baseball today is finally Manny Machado signed. 10 years, $300 million. Just a reminder for the Red Sox fans out there, remember, this is the same Manny Machado who hit 182 in the World Series. He was down on a knee when Chris Sale threw him that nasty slider at the end of the game. Okay, now, these deals have never worked out besides, really, what, A-Rod's first deal? Albert Pujols, that major deal has not worked. Robinson Cano just got traded to the Mets, so that contract did not work, $240 mil to the Mariners. Prince Fielder didn't work. Remember the whole Prince Fielder thing? He was dealing with a back issue that turned into a neck issue, and they still gave him all the money, and it turns out he broke down because he had back issues. Well, didn't exactly take a brainiac to figure that one out. Jason Hayward, and he didn't get $200 mil, but he got, what, over $140 million at least from the Cubs. That deal hasn't worked out. That was stupid to begin with. That was one of those sabermetric deals just because he rated so great in the war and his defensive zone rating or whatever was great. They went after Jason Hayward, and then we see in postseason games he's not even playing half the time because he's not good. So that was a different situation. Josh Hamilton didn't work out. Now, the one thing with Machado that's different and will be different with Bryce Harper whenever he signs, Machado's only 25. Most of these guys are getting these contracts when they're 29, they're 30 years old. So at least Machado you get for his prime. And what a deal for Machado. So Machado has an opt-out after the fifth year of this thing. So Machado, after 5 years at 30, if he's still having prime seasons there in San Diego, can say, I'm going to enter the market again and get even more money. And if not, if he's not performing well, he then can just stick to his, what, 5 years left at $150 million. So this is perfect for Machado. Now, this is what I would warn you about if you're the Padres, or if you're looking at this from a baseball perspective. The Dodgers gave up prospects for Machado. They didn't want to sign him to a long-term deal. And you can say, oh, well, they have Seager there for the future. Well, you could still have Seager and Machado. You can figure out a way to have them both there. Justin Turner is not going to play forever there at third base. So what does that tell you if the team that actually gave up assets, gave up young players to get him, didn't want to sign him long-term? Just a warning there. And how about the fact that he said during an interview he wasn't going to be Johnny Hustle? Remember the fact that he wasn't running out ground balls or whatever? So they said, oh, he's not going to be Johnny Hustle, he said. And then remember against the Red Sox what happened? He thought he hit a home run in the World Series, and he decided to, like, jog out of the batter's box. And then what happened? Oh, yeah, he didn't get to second base. He ended up with just a single when he hit the wall. That's what type of player Manny Machado is. Manny Machado, also a guy that has routinely not run out ground balls. And as I mentioned, says he's not going to be Johnny Hustle. So if you're the Padres right now, you're trying to build something out. You signed Hosmer last year, who, by the way, was horrible. Hit like, what, 240-something? 18 home runs? You thought you were getting like a star from the Royals to come over to you. He didn't work out for you. Now you go after Manny Machado. Now I understand the rotation is absolutely horrible. You haven't even heard of half the guys that are in that rotation. Really, all the guys that are in that rotation. And I understand you have some young prospects you could maybe trade for pitching down the road. But I kind of feel like the way you build this thing up in Major League Baseball is like, all right, the Cubs, they had Anthony Rizzo, who they acquired in a trade. They had Chris Bryant. They were able to go out there and get Addison Russell. Then you add, like, the John Lesters of the world. Then you add other pieces to this thing, right? They had Schwarber there. Same thing with the Astros. Like, they had Bregman. They had Correa. They had already had Altuve. They go out and they get Justin Verlander. It just doesn't seem like the Padres are in a win-now mode. Like, they're not there yet. A.J. Preller, and I get that Manny Machado fits a long-term window, too, because he's only 25. But A.J. Preller, remember this guy? A couple of years ago, he signs all these big-name free agents, the Craig Kimbrels of the world, who's now, of course, with the Red Sox, but Justin Upton at the time. So they tried to go all in, and they sucked. So they rebuilt. And now 2 years later, he's trying to do it all again where he's turning the direction back to, oh, we're going all in again. We're getting Machado. We got Hosmer 2 years ago. And apparently, according to John Heyman, they're not done. They could still be in the Bryce Harper sweepstakes. I don't see that happening. But nonetheless, they could be in our Bryce Harper, according to John Heyman. So there's that element to this. A.J. Preller is a guy that, remember, he called himself, quote, a maverick in the middle of nowhere. That's the general manager, a maverick in the middle of nowhere. This is the same guy that was suspended 30 days for mishandling medical information. This is the guy that's running the Padres. This is the guy that is empowered to give out contracts. Remember what he did with the whole Drew Pomerantz thing? He was like hiding injury information. He did it with multiple teams to the point the guy gets suspended for 30 days. So that's who's running the Padres organization. So from the Padres perspective, not that many people care about the Padres, it just doesn't make sense to me whatsoever. Hosmer, by the way, his final numbers were 253, so over 240, 18 home runs. But again, you paid the guy well over $100 million, and that's not really working out for you. Maybe you're trying to win over the fan base there in San Diego because you know the Chargers are out. Maybe you want to be like the number one talking item in town. But the pitching staff, some of these guys, I don't even know who they are. I really don't know who they are. Then you look at it, 17th in attendance, and they were around 23rd in television ratings. So do you think you're going to get like an initial boost with Manny Machado? Maybe for a couple of weeks, but I don't think people are going to go out to the ballpark when this team stinks every day to watch Manny Machado. I understand you're appealing to an Hispanic demographic there and whatnot, but I think that gets you a little attention for a couple of days. But as the season goes on, does anybody really care about this team? I just don't see it having the major impact that maybe they think they're going to have. But this is where I look at it from Major League Baseball's perspective, okay? Is it good for the game that Manny Machado's in San Diego? And for me, no. This is bad for Major League Baseball. He's playing on a franchise that isn't relevant whatsoever. Manny Machado is a villain, okay? Manny Machado is the perfect villain in Major League Baseball. Think about it. We talk about, all right, maybe the Red Sox, over-exaggerated the Dustin Pedroia thing, but Pedroia hasn't been the same player since that altercation with Manny Machado. The Red Sox threw at him, like, how many times that season until they finally figured out, okay, we've thrown at him enough. And the Red Sox fans hate him. We look at what happened this year in the postseason. He stomped on Jesus Aguilar's foot. Remember, they were at first base, to the point where Christian Yelich, the MVP of the National League of the Brewers, ended up calling him out, called him a dirty player. We've had multiple people throughout the past call him a dirty player. He did the same thing in the World Series. Remember, he stepped on Steve Pierce's heel at first base. So he did that twice in the postseason, to the point where everybody thinks Manny Machado's a dirty player. He doesn't run anything out. He said he's not going to be Johnny Hustle. This guy is like the ultimate villain. He's 25. He should be entering the prime of his career, and he's going to be playing for an irrelevant San Diego team. I don't blame Manny Machado. 10 years, $300 million. Do that. Go ahead. Take that contract. But I much rather see Manny Machado, for the sake of Major League Baseball, if I'm Rob Manfred and company, I much rather see Manny Machado playing for, you know, like a relevant baseball team. Can you imagine Manny Machado on the Yankees? That would have been perfect. I said it a couple of weeks ago. That would have been the perfect landing spot, and I understand why the Yankees didn't do it. Didi's going to come back from the Tommy John. You have guys like Andujar, who was the rookie of the year. So you have these young players. You have Torres there. So you have those young players. I understand why the Yankees weren't like, we're going to give him $3 million, especially considering you're paying Giancarlo Stanton $325, who looked like he never swung a baseball bat in the history of his life in the postseason. So you're already paying those guys, and you have some young players on the team. I understand why you didn't want to give him the money, but for the sake of Major League Baseball, that would have been like the perfect landing spot, because the Yankees right now, they don't have any hateable guys. Like Aaron Judge. What's hateable about Aaron Judge, even as a Red Sox fan? The fact that he had that boombox saying New York, New York? Like, I get that motivated the Red Sox and whatnot, but who do you dislike right now on the Yankees? CeCe, who's going to retire after the season? How can you hate CeCe? There's really nothing to hate about the guy. Who, D.D. Gregorius? Like, there's no real hateable Yankees right now. Manny Machado would have been the perfect villain in this rivalry, considering the fact that the Red Sox already hate the guy. But instead, Manny Machado, who is supposed to be one of the stars of Major League Baseball, one of the faces of Major League Baseball, he's going to be playing in San Diego. How is this good for baseball? It's terrible for baseball. It's not a good day for baseball whatsoever. At least Harper, it looks like it's going to be maybe San Francisco, maybe Philadelphia. At least those are major markets. He's playing in an irrelevant franchise that was 23rd in terms of viewership and the television ratings last year. Speaking of television ratings, want to get to this before we end tonight. The Boston Celtics ratings way down. Why? We'll get to it all. You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEEI. All right. Well, Manny Machado got that 10-year, $300 million contract. The same guy that, as I mentioned, said he doesn't want to be Johnny Hustle. You think he's going to be motivated after he gets a 10-year, $300 million contract? Like the Padres, he's supposed to be their building block. You think he's going to be the role model for your younger players? Manny Machado, the same guy that doesn't run anything out, he's going to be the guy that works hard and builds a culture there in San Diego? Really, that guy, he's going to build a culture there. All right, good luck to the Padres with that situation. Manny Machado is really going to be the guy that you want all the younger players on your team looking up to. He's really the guy. Now, at least with Harper, if Harper ended up being the guy that went to San Diego, if he ended up being that guy, Harper goes balls to the wall all the time. Sometimes you get to tell the guy to chill out. Remember, he's like running into the wall all the time. Harper's going all out all the time. I get one time he didn't run it out to first base, didn't run out of grounder to first base. He got benched. It's like, that's the guy you're going to bench? When all the other times he runs everything out, you could argue that Harper goes too hard. I'd much rather build my team around Bryce Harper than Manny Machado, because I know Bryce Harper is going all out all the time, and I think he sells more tickets. I think Bryce Harper is somebody that you want to go to see each and every night. So we'll see what happens with Bryce Harper in the next couple of days, but he's going to be happy. He's going to get $350 million, and now Mookie Betts is going to be really, really happy. Yeah, Bryce, go get your contract, then I'm going to beat you. Mike Trout and Mookie are going to be free agents in the same year. My God, that could be the two best players in baseball. Right now, for my money, they're the two best players in baseball. Those guys become free agents the same year, or could become, I should say. Really, that's going to be talking about what these guys got. They're going to break that, both of them. All right, so I wanted to finish up with this. So the Celtics ratings are apparently down. This is from the Sports Business Journal. Celtics ratings down 27% from last year. 27% from last year. All right, that's not just like a small number. That's 27%. All right, so the ratings are also down on TNT, NBA TV, and ABC, so they're down nationally as well. The only thing they're flat on is like ESPN, like their Friday night and their Wednesday night games. Last year, remember, the Celtics ratings were way up, and you think about it, why are the Celtics ratings way down? There's a couple of things. If you look at last year, the reason they soared, if you really think about it, this Celtics team, it was new, right? Because they had just acquired Kyrie Irving. They had just signed Gordon Hayward, and I understand that Hayward goes down the first game of the season, but think about what happens right after Hayward goes down. Now, they lose a game or two, but then they go on that 16-game winning streak, and everybody thought after Gordon Hayward went down at the beginning of that season, they're like, oh, season's over. Celtics aren't going to be great. They needed Hayward, and they end up going on this great run 16-game winning streak. So everybody bought into the Kyrie magic. Everybody's first opportunity to watch Kyrie as a Celtics, they're like, we're all in. He was doing all these things with the basketball in terms of he's a magician, right? He's like a Harlem Globetrotter the way he dribbles the basketball. And then we're seeing all these young guys get their opportunities, the Jason Tatums, the Jaylen Browns of the world. They're on this winning streak. Everybody wants to see it. It becomes must-watch television. It was fresh. It was new. We all wanted to see it. So we're all buying into the situation. We're now like, all right, Hayward's down, but this still looks like a team that can make a run into the Eastern Conference Finals, maybe go to the NBA Finals with Kyrie. So you were buying into it at the beginning of last season. Now with this year, there was excitement at the beginning of the year because you had Hayward coming back. We were expecting he'd be a lot more healthy than he actually is. And Kyrie Irving coming back for year two. Kyrie had just said before the season that he was committing to the organization long term. He said to the season ticket holders, if you'll have me, I want to stay. And we've all seen what's happened since then. He comes out and he says essentially that talk to me on July 1st. But there was a buzz around the Celtics heading into the season. But then what happens to the Celtics to start the year? Now, they win their opener against Philly, and they recently beat Philly again, and they beat Philly on Christmas. They own Philly. We all know this. But it's been an up-and-down year for the Celtics in terms of the expectation. They were expected to be the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, or at worst, the number two seed in the Eastern Conference, and clearly they still haven't gelled. So if this was the team that we thought it was going to be, if this was the Celtics team that we thought going into the season, maybe not beat the Warriors, but could at least compete with the Warriors, historically over the past 2 to 3 years, nobody's played the Celtics tougher. Or nobody's played the Warriors tougher, I should say, than the Celtics. So you were actually buying into this team. You thought that they were a legitimate threat, and now you watch them play, and you don't even think they can beat the Bucks or the Raptors. That's why the television ratings are down. You don't believe in the team, and it's not something new and interesting. It's something that is underachieving. So you just get sick and tired of the team because of the fact they're not achieving at the level that you thought they would achieve at. That's the issue with the Celtics in terms of the rating. And there's a couple of other things. How about Kyrie Irving? Does he help? The fact that Kyrie Irving is constantly calling out his teammates and whatnot, doesn't that make you think differently of Kyrie Irving? Doesn't that make you get upset when you're thinking about the Boston Celtics, that you have your star player who is constantly saying things about the younger players on the team, saying they're not ready right now, they don't understand what it's like to win a championship? And the fact, even now, recently, where Kyrie Irving makes the comments, talk to me on July 1st about my free agency after he had previously committed to you, is Kyrie Irving a guy right now that you want to tune into and watch the Boston Celtics? You want to cheer that guy on? If anything, I would say this year, Kyrie Irving's approval rating in this town has gone completely down. He was, before the season, somebody that everybody loved, because remember last year he was great, and now you say, oh, Kyrie Irving coming back, he's the missing piece and whatnot. There was all that buzz about Kyrie Irving. He says he wants to come back. We knew that part of the reason he wanted to get out of Cleveland is because him and LeBron weren't getting along. And then this year, he calls out the young players, and he says that he called LeBron to apologize to him because now he understands why it can be so frustrating to deal with young players. So Kyrie went from being, everybody loves Kyrie Irving in Boston, to now, who's really feeling Kyrie Irving right now? You're like, well, we got to deal with this guy again? all this drama with this guy each and every week. Every week we get a report with this guy. And then we find out, and I understand that there was ratings before the All-Star game, but how are you feeling now when Kyrie Irving is out there and he's playing 25 minutes in an All-Star game with his buddies, Kevin Durant and LeBron James, when previously Kyrie Irving was in a situation where when he was dealing with a hip issue, he skipped games against Charlotte. He skipped games against Cleveland, the Brooklyn Nets, all the bad teams he would skip games against with his actual team. But it was good enough to play against the Warriors, a nationally televised game. It was good enough to play against a team like the Lakers, a nationally televised game. But when it came down to it, he wasn't healthy enough to go in these other games against irrelevant franchises. Couldn't play against Philly and Detroit. I get he had a knee sprain, but he was good enough to play in the All-Star game. If you really want to play, play 2 minutes, Kyrie. But geez, Celtics down 27%. Apparently, this team isn't very likable right now. Hopefully they turn it around in the last 25 games of the season, but geez, Kyrie Irving has just become absolutely exhausting. All right, thanks to Joe Cortez for producing tonight. Have a great night, everybody, or a great early morning, I should say. Be safe and be well.